You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Well, it could be good morning, no matter what time you're listening to the podcast. It's available 24/7, but you are welcome to Series 3, Episode 13 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast with myself, Kieran Burke, and, of course, John Breyer. And, John, we have another show where there's been two sets of Premier Division fixtures. It's just such an action-packed season, isn't it, the way the fixtures are scheduled?
Fixtures coming, it seems like, very thick and fast at the moment. Two matches nearly every week. It's hard to keep up with sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you caught Declan Devine's comments today. He's outraged, really, with the way the fixtures have been scheduled this season. He made the point that fans can't afford to pay into three games every week. And now we're going to have this situation due to the Toulon tournament, where there's been seven League of Ireland players called up from a number of clubs. Cork City and Derry City look set to go 6 weeks without a home game.
Yeah, it's just crazy scheduling, isn't it?
It's bad planning.
Can't understand it, Kieran, to be honest.
Well, look, I suppose we better tell the folks at home what we have coming up on the show tonight. We have a fantastic interview with the recently retired Paddy Kavanagh, a bit of a journeyman, I think it's fair to say. Johnny,
yeah,
won't mind us saying
well,
that.
Well, you were talking about all the clubs he played for, and it would have been easier to mention the clubs they hadn't played for. You could say he's been around the block, definitely a bit of a journeyman, but you'll be forever remembered for that chip van celebration, Kieran.
Yeah, we actually didn't. We forgot to bring that up, but a fantastic interview with Paddy on his entire career and on Bohemians this season, because it's a club where he clearly has a big soft spot for the Bohs. So we've spoken to him about Keith Long and the job he's doing at the moment. And our good friend Nigel Hegarty will join us to discuss Finn Harps. Have you been surprised by the turnaround, John? I think we both wrote them off when they were bottom.
I think we did. They were struggling on 2 points after God knows how many games, Kieran. And it looked like they were struggling to score goals, Kieran. The defence was struggling. Nothing from what we saw the previous season when they were in the first division, although that's probably, it's a difference in quality they're
big
playing
time,
against.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was their strength. But they've been leaking some silly goals this season. And obviously the ill discipline off the field, on the field was costing them. So, yeah, surprised with the turnaround. Not so sure they can make it last because, you know, it is a part-time team.
Yeah.
It's quite a long season. The fixtures come thick and fast. And I just remember the Harps that got relegated before. They started off quite well that season, but they petered out. And
Is it a two-horse race at the bottom, UCD and Harps?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There'll be no other team get dragged into it. I know you were talking off-air there about Waterford, but there's no way that...
No, they're inconsistent, Waterford, but yeah. they're definitely a step above those two, I think it's fair to say. Look, let's crack into the Premier Division review. We'll start with Friday's games and we'll start at Turner's Cross. This has been the fixture in Irish football over the last number of years, but in truth, a very comfortable win for Dundalk, who have a great record now. I think that's 6 or 7 wins in a row against Cork, 2-0 at Turner's Cross.
Yeah, they're not going to like that, Cork, are they? Because at one stage, they did have a little bit of a hoodoo over
Dundalk.
Yeah,
it was
Dundalk.
The other way around at one stage.
Yeah, yeah, and certainly it's switched around. But I have to say, I'm taking my hat off to one of the greatest pieces of skills I've seen recently, that McElhaney drag down.
Yeah.
It was an amazing piece of skill, how he took the ball down and shot, which was parried by McNulty, who didn't have a good game.
It was an absolutely awful mistake from McNulty. He's having a dreadful season, and it's something I addressed the other night online. The Cork number two must be looking at that and thinking, how many mistakes is Mark McNulty going to be allowed to make this season before I get a shot at this? He's had a dreadful season. He had a dreadful time last year as well. Surely now there's got to be question marks over his position in that team.
Yeah, I think he's getting that team on reputation alone at the moment, because he does seem to be making an awful lot of mistakes for what used to be one of the top goalkeepers in the league.
Of course, was called into the Ireland squad alongside Gary Rogers at one time to train with the national team. So absolutely no doubt about the abilities of Mark McNulty, but he just simply hasn't done it in the last two seasons. And if I'm the number two there at Cork, I'm wondering, what do I have to do to get a game, and how much longer am I going to sit here on the bench?
Yeah, well, I'm sure a decision's going to have to be made sooner or later, because he can't keep on making these mistakes. And it's cost him there, because Jarvis has pounced on the parried effort. The spill. I'm going to say spill.
It's a spill.
Yeah, because you know, it was poor, and he's made it 1-0. It's cost him a goal.
Yeah, great to see Dean Jarvis on the score sheet, because we highlighted him on last week's show. He has been sensational since he's broken into that team and taken the jersey off Dan Massey, which isn't easy to do. So a nice moment there for the former Derry man.
That penalty for Dundalk, I just thought that was very harsh, Kieran, after that. It was more of a clash of bodies to me than a penalty decision.
I think the court defender has been caught out by pace. For me, it is a penalty, John.
You think so? Yeah. Well, I thought justice was done when Hooban hit the post. And then at the other end, the post at the other end got hit through Cummins as well. Chances both ends.
Yeah, when I was watching the highlights, I was almost certain that Gary Rogers maybe got some sort of hand on it. What was your thoughts on that?
Oh, I didn't see, Kieran, but yeah, I just thought it. I just thought it screwed the shot wide.
Yeah, it's a bad miss from Cummins. Very low on confidence at the moment. I think if you're looking at Hooban getting into that situation, probably 9 times out of 10 he puts that in the back of the net.
Yeah.
And in the past, you would have said the exact same about Cummins, but a difficult return to the League of Ireland last season, and that's continued into this year with the struggles of Cork, certainly not helping his cause.
Yeah, he's not got the goals that he certainly did in the past. But look, on the other foot, Dundalk, they're danger all over the pitch, and the man having a great season is Sean Gannon. It was his cross that led to the second goal. It was a great move, actually, but a great cross that led to Mountney's goal to make it 2-0.
Yeah, because when I was watching that, there was I think it may have been Murray that was making a run from deep, and I'm thinking Gannon cut it back, and instead he puts in an absolute pinpoint cross into Mountney, who heads it to the back of the net. And as you said, Sean Gannon is having an absolutely superb season. He gets better with each passing season. I don't think there's been a player in the league that's been as consistent as he has over such a long period.
I think that's the thing you've got to judge him on, because if you look at the players this season, Gannon's been up there, and Duffy for me have been the two real standouts. You know, other players may have done it in certain matches, but they can be quiet in others. But for consistency, I'd have them two up and above.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Tilly shot curl wide at the other end as Cork looked to try and get something from the game. And then at the end, Mountney got a second yellow for a slice tackle. He just badly missed
time. It was a silly tackle, and he'd be disappointed with that one, because he's going to pick up a suspension now. And
tough to get back in that
team. That's what I mean. He's got himself a goal. He's probably thinking, I can get a run going here now after breaking into the team last year and doing so well. But suspension now going to be very, very hard to get back in that team.
Yeah, although Cork have perked up a little bit in recent weeks since changing manager. They're still looking a long way off the top.
I think it's fair to say they've started to win the sort of games that you should expect them to win, but in the game against Dundalk there, you could tell there was a huge gulf in class, and there was no surprise in the result.
It was almost closer than I thought it would be. Rovers going to UCD and scraping this one 1-0. Well, when I say scrape, it was pretty one-sided 1-0, I have to say, and it was well-deserved, but a couple of things going the other way, and the UCD could have got a point in this one. If Yo-Yo would have reacted a bit quicker early on, he could have opened the scoring for
UCD.
I'm
not sure how he didn't turn that one into the back of the net, because he's had a very, very good start to life in the Premier. Was very impressive when he came into the team in the First Division last year.
Yeah,
seen him a couple of times. He looks a real talent, and I'm shocked he didn't turn that one home.
Yeah, me too. But I've talked about UCD defending from set pieces and crosses and things in the past, and it was a cross again that undid them for the only goal of the game. And really, it was a tap-in from Daniel Carr, but where was the UCD defence? Gone walkabout again, Kieran.
Yeah, we spoke about that on the show last week, didn't we? That for a team with experienced defenders like Liam Scales and big defenders at the back, they're not dealing with them crosses and set pieces into the area. So that's got to be a worry for Colly O'Neill. I'm not sure exactly what he can do to address it, but he certainly needs to look at changing something in that defensive lineup, because it's not working, and it's costing them big goals and big points at the moment.
Yeah, we see balls catching them out, and like I say, this from crosses and set pieces, and I don't know, that they may have to have a look at changing a few of the individuals playing in that defence at the moment. Man who had a good game, Trevor Clark, he's full of running, isn't he?
Always does, doesn't he? He's, just like we said about Gannon, he's very consistent. Obviously, Clark hasn't played as many seasons and won as many trophies as Sean Gannon has, but you're looking at him and he could be definitely one of the top left-backs in the country going forward.
Yeah, I think he was linked with Southampton at one stage, Kieran.
He was, definitely, and if he keeps up this form, especially if Rovers can get a couple of trophies under their belts in the coming years, I think he's going to be one of the key men in that team, and that only ends up with one way, and that's scouts flocking to Tallaght Stadium to take a look at him.
Yeah, well, he's dangerous on the ball, and his the first run he had a shot at the goalkeeper, but then another Clark run led to a chance for Jack Byrne, but he couldn't get his shot on target, Kieran.
Yeah, outside of the boot effort from Jack Byrne, it would have been one of his trademark goals, so to speak, but just wide, as you said.
Cool strain, could have made it 2-0, but he hit the post, and then a goal disallowed for offside. Look, only 1-0, but Rovers well deserving of it.
Yeah, very, very dominant. And we'll be speaking to Nigel Hegarty later in the show, the Finn Harps supporter. And he was waxy lyrical about Shamrock Rovers on Twitter, on his own Twitter account after the game up in Finn Park. And he went as far as to say it was the best performance he's seen from a team in Finn Park since Dundalk went up there a couple of years ago and put 7 past Harps. And he reckons Rovers are his favourites to win the league. So we'll chat to him about that as well as about Finn Harps this season.
Well, and I'll tell you what, Kieran, it's neck and neck, isn't it?
So it's great to see.
Yeah,
it's great drama. We'll touch on the midweek games now in the moment, but I was watching them. I was flicking between games on Monday night on the streams, and it was just great. You know, you're watching anything, and Rovers are about to go top again. Dundalk have lost the momentum here now. Last minute penalty, and straight away you're thinking of the fans for Rovers that have gone up to Donegal, and they're all excited, thinking we can sing we're top of the league the minute this full time whistle goes, and then they hear of another late penalty for Dundalk, and Hooban steps up and he scores. It's just great drama. We all seen the end of the English Premiership season where every week the teams were winning consistently, and you knew it was going to go down to the wire, and you're starting to get a similar feel to this League of Ireland title race, which will be great.
I can't help think, but the head-to-heads are going to be critical, aren't they?
Definitely. We'll move along to what was a Dublin derby and an entertaining one of that, full of controversial moments. St. Pat's 1, Bohemians 1. Both managers coming away disappointed, only picking up a point, but I think it's fair to say both definitely could be the more aggrieved. They were the better side.
Yeah, I thought they edged it, Kieran. It was a good game, I have to
say. And a good crowd as well, which is great.
Yeah, both have some great young talent, and it was Mandry O'Connor, Affinity headed, well saved by Clark, very good goalkeeper.
Fantastic save.
Yeah, and then one would have put this the other way around, but it was Gary Shaw's cross at the other end led to Darramaki opening the scoring with a header.
Absolutely brilliant bit of play from Gary Shaw.
Yeah. You wonder why he wasn't playing a lot earlier in the season.
Well, I think Harry Kenny, we said he was going to go with that one man up front system. The results weren't fantastic. The performances certainly weren't great. So fair play to Harry Kenny. He's been brave enough to hold up his hands and say, I'm going to try something different here. He's gone with the two up front, and it's working because they've started to score more goals since Drennan and Shaw started to play together.
Bowes then awarded a penalty. One of the players absolutely sandwiched by a couple of defenders. but Dinny Corcoran took the penalty. Brendan Clark, great save.
Great tackle because he was on the 6-yard line when he saved the chance. So I would call it a tackle more than a save. But look, if the keeper can get that advantage and get away with it, then fair play to him. It was a poor penalty from Corcoran. You wouldn't expect him to have hit it so without real any real conviction. It wasn't in the corner. There was no great power on it. But look, Clark's done his job, but the officials there, they have to be brave and make him retake that one.
Mandrio was, the best way I can describe it, he was absolutely smashed by Lennon. But he got home and he hit one of the best free kicks I've seen.
Superb.
If Mr. Messi would have hit that, everybody would have been raving about it. The goalkeeper never had a chance because of the speed and whip on the ball. It was a really, really good dead ball strike.
Yeah, it was superb. And Mandrew played a huge part on the night in all the Bowes attacks. And as I said, I really think Bowes can feel aggrieved not to have come away with the 3 points. And Keith Long spoke to Between the Stripes TV after the game. Check it out on YouTube if you're not aware of it. And very, very scary, John. He said this kid, Mandrew, there's so much more to come from. He said that he's far from the finished product, and there's still so much more he has to learn. And he's playing very well at the moment, and long may it continue. But this kid can go where he wants.
Yeah, I think so. And it looks very, very promising. So we'll watch his career and see where he gets on. But look, Grant should have won it for Bowes, but he did a Ronnie Rosenthal, Kieran, if you're old enough to remember that one. And I don't know how he put it over from a couple of yards out.
Yeah, and he's had a couple of goals to his name in recent weeks, so the confidence should have been high, but just looks like he's lost his balance, lost his composure, and he's blazed over the bar, as you said. But definitely, Bowes for me, the better side, and disappointed to lose ground in the title race.
Diddy Corcoran missed a good chance right near the end as well when he sliced wide. Yeah, he just didn't get hold of it, did he?
It was a difficult one. It's bouncing quite high up, above knee height. It was almost up at his chest, so he's had to get... his leg quite high up to try and make contact with it, and he's made a good contact, but unfortunately he's just sliced it with his laces and it's gone wide, and the full time whistle went then, and you could see the disappointment on the Bulls players' faces. They knew this was one that got away.
Yeah, good game it was. Absolute ding dong cracker up in the northwest. Harps 3, Waterford 2, Kieran.
Yeah, again, Waterford, they shipped 3 last week in a thriller against Sligo. And defences here again, not on top in this game. 5-goal thriller. And another huge, huge win for Finn Harps.
Biggest shock for me of the night with that one is a manager getting sent off. And it wasn't Ollie Horgan.
You've been waiting all night for that,
yeah,
haven't you?
Have, yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, Corey Galvin, we talked about him last week. He played in Drennan for the opener for Waterford.
That was a really good team move.
Yeah, yeah. He looks, like I say, it's about time we've seen a bit more from Galvin. He'd been quiet all the season, but that's good. Mikey Place, he was fouled on the edge of the box and he scored, got up and again scored.
Stunning free kick.
Great free kick, yeah. 1-1. So, man, having a bad season, Georgie Poynton again. Oh, what's happened?
We talked about it last week, didn't we? Seems to be playing very deep in this Waterford side.
I have to say, the penalty that was adjudged against him, he looked pretty harsh, Kieran.
Yeah, I'm still not decided on it, really.
Oh, I thought it was a bad refereeing decision, Kieran.
I've heard a few people make the argument that it wasn't a clash of heads, which obviously wouldn't be a penalty because it's totally accidental, but because the Harps player goes down holding his head, he's obviously injured, but Poynton doesn't go down holding his head, and a few people have made the suggestion that he's leaned in with the shoulder and made contact, so that would be a penalty in that case. So it's all about what angle the referee is seeing it at. That's obviously the referee's judgment on it, that maybe he's leaned in with the elbow or the shoulder and he's made contact, so penalty. But as you said, Poynton's decision making in recent weeks has been very, very poor.
Yeah, and Waterford shipping way too many goals this season, Kieran. Place scored the penalty anyway to make it 2-1. Could have been 3-1 up, but they headed over the bar and another opportunity there. But mayhem at the end. Damien Delaney equalised from a corner. Minute to go, 2-2. You thought that was it then?
Yeah, his first goal for Waterford as well. But he certainly didn't show himself in a positive light for the Harps winner.
No, Sean Boyd made it 3-2 at the end. Huge win for Harps, Kieran.
Yeah, and Boyd's a player that is very, very highly rated. He's on loan from Shamrock Rovers and he scored a couple of important goals since coming in to Harps there. And maybe he can be the answer to their lack of goals this season. Somewhere where there was a lack of goals was the showground. Sligo 0, Derry 0. 2 very good goalkeeping performances in this one.
Yeah, clean sheet for your mate Dante.
Yeah, Dante Watch. It's become here every week. Yeah. Almost scored from a corner as well. He's proven to be a real threat in the opposition box. But I think both teams will be slightly disappointed with this result.
Yeah, yeah.
I did call this one, didn't I? I said the Sligo, they've become a bit of a draw specialist this season. Yeah. Derry in recent weeks, after a great start to the year, they've just struggled for goals slightly and they're picking up a lot of draws as well. So I wasn't surprised by this result.
Yeah, well, Derry should have been 1-0 early on. McNamee free and Cole headed over from... He was no distance out there.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how he's missed that.
Yeah, McGinty, nice to see him doing well again this season. He saved a one-on-one from Harkin.
He's one to watch.
Yeah, McGinty. Good goalkeeper, isn't he?
Yeah, for his age, very, very good.
Yeah. Coughlin forced a save from Cherry at the other end. I don't know how this was not a penalty when McNamee he tripped Cole in the box, Kieran. And yeah. I have no idea how that wasn't given as a penalty.
Look, we touched on the...
It was the stoniest of walls of penalties with that.
We've touched last week on the standard of officiating and some of the big decisions that aren't being made, and that was just another example of one.
Yeah, well, I can say it because I'm not going to get fined. Sligo were robbed on that one. and that was the best hope. That actually the free kick from just after that penalty was close, but like I say, I think they can feel a little bit aggrieved by the refereeing in what was a poor game, Kieran.
To the midweek games, Dundalk, they snatched it late again at Oriel Park against Bohemians, 2-1, Patrick Holman with, I think it was a 96-minute penalty.
It was all going so well for Bose. 1-0 up through Daniel Grant, and then Ryan Crader, a red card, let Dundalk back in. And Georgie Kelly, again, with a goalie.
Off the bench, yeah.
Yeah, in the 66th. And late drama. Pat Hooban penalty in the 90th to give Dundalk the 3 points. That, I think, end any hope that Bowes had of the title.
Yeah, I would have to agree. 9 points off the top now. you'd really be looking at them. They'd have to win all their heads-to-heads against Rovers and Dundalk and then slip up very few times in the other games. It's a big, big ask now for Bohemians, especially with a part-time setup there. If your penalty call in the last one was a stone wall, well, this one was made out of the toughest rocks you could find. Dundalk, the Dundalk player was absolutely hacked down in the area. I don't know what the thinking was behind the tackle. It was very, very rash. And Hoban holds his composure after missing one recently against Cork. He steps up here. He does that little run up where he stops halfway, and then, you know, it's nervous for a supporter, but Hoban kept his cool and buried it at the back of the net.
He has missed a few.
Yeah, he has. And what do you make of the amount of penalties Dundalk have had this season? 9 in 18 games is 50% strike rate.
That's it's crazy, man. But I think that's down to, rather than any kind of favouritism, I think it's just down to the pace. The fullbacks bombing forward. Duffy's so tricky, you know. Yeah. He's going to win a few by himself. But that put them at the top of the league, and they're looking good.
Yeah, just on Bohs, they've been excellent this season, and they've showed great discipline. They had a red card here, and then Ali Regba comes on as a substitute, gets booked almost instantly, gets away with two more instances where he definitely should have seen a second yellow. Keith Long decides, I have to get this guy off the pitch because he's lost the head, takes him off, and Regba storms down the tunnel. I don't know what was going on with him, but he just totally lost the rag the other night, and that's worrying, because you need to keep your composure in these big games. And that was a substitute wasted then for Bohemians, and you never know, if he was on the pitch, maybe he would have got a chance to win it late on for Bohs.
Who knows, there could be anything going on. You just don't know.
These are the small moments in title races that can mean so much.
Yeah, but I think you just have to, you know, whatever's going on in somebody's life, you just have to focus on them. When you're playing for your team or you're at work, you just concentrate on that. I wonder whether he has his next move already lined up. There was rumours he was going to be signed by Leicester. I don't know whether that's whether that was some kind of pre-contract agreement or what in place.
It's hard to know. And we've said it so many times on the show with Bohs, you just really do worry that a lot of their young players might be poached. But the good news was a contract extension for Daniel Mandrew this week. So,
I just, as far as Bohs, I think it's very, very tough for the likes of Bohs to challenge for a league title. If you think of the money the likes of Dundalk are getting now for their appearances in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Forget the League of Ireland prize money.
Yeah.
Forget that, because that's nothing.
Monopoly,
you know.
Money, yeah.
But the money when they're getting these European runs is massive, and it just makes a bigger gulf between the likes of the full-time outfit of Dundalk and the part-timers of Bohemians.
UCD 0, Cork City 1. Watched bits and pieces of this game, as I said, and was not impressed by Cork at all. I know Alan Cawley was at the game and he was tweeting quite a bit about it. Again, he said he felt UCD were a far better side and probably should have got something from this one. But for Cork, as we said recently, it's all about just getting back to winning these sort of games and giving it their best against the more established sides in the division and trying to find their confidence again.
Yeah, a couple of matches there that UCD have gone down 1-0, so they'll be disappointed with the lack of goals, I think. Kian Bargery with a goal for Cork.
Yeah, going to be honest, don't know an awful lot about him, but I suppose that's maybe an effect of the new management team coming in there. They're giving younger players an opportunity, and he's taken it, so well done to the lad.
Yeah, well, they've nothing to lose, have they, considering their early season form, so they may as well.
Some Cork fans feel they're still in with a chance of a top four finish. What's your thoughts on that?
Dream on, no chance. Really? No, yeah. I can't see it, Kieran.
They're not playing well enough.
No, they're not got a good enough team. As we said, I'm going to stick by my opinions that they won't finish top four this season.
Yeah, I have to agree. We'll move along. Harps, they couldn't carry in the momentum of that great win against Waterford. They went down 3-0 at home to Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, Aaron Green with two, and Dylan Watt's penalty settled this one. Harps well beaten in this.
Yeah, big, big win for Shamrock Rovers. They thought they were going to go top, but obviously that late Hoban penalty changed all that. But Rovers doing what they had to do, getting the win and doing it in convincing circumstances. And you know, that shouldn't be underestimated, to go to Donegal and pick up a 3-0 win. It's not the easiest place in the world to go.
No, it's not, especially on the back of a great result for them against Waterford.
As I said, we'll have Nigel Hegarty on the show later on to discuss Finn Harp's season so far. Final midweek game came last night. It was St. Pat's 1, Derry 0. That could be a big result in the battle for top four.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this match. It was a big one for the European spots, and you know, Pat's winning that 1-0 was a huge result. And to be honest, I think Harry Kennedy would be more pleased with the clean sheets. When you think of the what we've seen previously with their defence and the individual mistakes, but it was one that we've criticised a lot on this show. Kevin Turner actually got the winner for this. So
But I was actually reading, I think there was a collision between two players, and a Derry defender had to go off momentarily for the corner.
Okay.
And the man, he would have been picking up Turner, and Turner scored. So that's, again, the small little bits of luck you can often get in a season. Yeah. Speaking to a lot of Pat fans after this result during the day, they're not happy with the style of football still at St. Pat's. You know, this is a big result, as we said, and some Pat's fans are saying we should just get over that and just focus on getting results. But I'm still not convinced by Pat's at the moment under Harry Kenny.
No. Well, they're not doing too much too convincing, are they? Let's face it. And the big names are just not shining. Mm.
As for Derry, we said it a few moments ago, lack of goals in recent weeks.
Yeah, that's disappointing when you think of what they've got up there and the creative talents.
Parkhouse with 5 goals this season, but hasn't scored in a few weeks now. McNamee got his first goal recently. Again, you'd be expecting him to get probably 10 goals a season.
Barely been prolific, though,
has
he?
Probably just, I think like a lot of clubs now, they're going to be looking to the summer window to try and liven things up a little bit.
I think so, because they do need a cutting edge. And, you know, these games where they're going down 1-0 and drawing, you know, if they had somebody that's going to bang a few more goals in, then they could be right up there with Dundalk and Rovers.
So, as we said, there's been just so many fixtures in recent weeks. It can be hard at times to keep up where teams are in the table. Well, so, John, run us through the league table as it stands.
I think what we're looking at now, we're a number of games into the season now, and it's quite clear we've got almost like 3 divisions.
Yeah.
So we've got the top two. It's a 2-horse race, Kieran.
Yeah.
Dundalk, Rovers, bang level on points, and we've got the bottom two, Harps and UCD. They're going to be the bottom two.
Level on points and level on goal difference at the bottom.
Yeah, you can switch them either way for who's going to finish bottom, who's going to finish next to bottom. And then you've got the rest in between. 11 points between Waterford and Bohemians. And then I think between those teams, it's just degrees of consistency.
So as we said, it's a top two battling out, and it's a bottom two. The third and fourth plates are going to be interesting this year, aren't they? So who do you make favourites? At the moment, we have Bowes in third on 31 points. You have Derry fourth on 27, Pats in fifth on 26, Cork there on 22 in mid-table, Sligo on 21, and Waterford are down in eighth on 20 points, so they're 10 clear of Finn Harps.
If you think European qualification would be third, maybe fourth, depending on obviously how the cups go, but you know, you're looking at fourth. Waterford are only 7 points off fourth, but it's close. But I think, you know, I'd probably like to see, I think Bohemians have been the best of the rest.
Yeah.
Quite clearly, I think there's some great young talent.
Do you think they keep up their good form going into the second half of the season?
Yeah, I think they can, because you know, he's quite happy to chop and change the team as long and rest players, and they're still getting the results. So
yeah, I'd fancy Bowes to, if they don't finish in third, I'd definitely fancy them for top four.
Yep.
As we said, Derry had a great start to the season, just need to find that scoring touch again. They have a plus 5 goal difference, which isn't awful considering Bowes only have plus 7. And then you can see the difference in attack and threat when you look at the top two, 18 for Rovers, 21 for Dundalk.
It's going to be between Derry and Pats for fourth, I think, Kieran.
So are you writing off Cork, Sligo and Waterford?
Yeah, I am at this stage, yeah.
Okay, I think I probably would have to agree with you on that. We're going to break up the show a little bit now, folks, before we go on to our first division review, and we're going to bring you a very special interview. It's our feature interview of the night. We're going to go down memory lane with Paddy Kavanagh and look back at his fantastic League of Ireland career. So enjoy this interview. So we're delighted to be joined on the show this week by a man that's had quite a few clubs in the League of Ireland throughout his career. Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk, Derry City, Shelburne, and of course Bohemians, just to name a few. Paddy Kavanagh, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Gentlemen, how are things? Plenty of clubs there. I think I've seen someone come in more clubs than Tiger Woods at one stage.
Yeah, and I suppose we'll try our best tonight to run through a little segment of each club you've had in your career. But I suppose first question, Paddy, your decision to retire took quite a few by surprise. Only 33, having a very, very good spell with Bohemians, where you spent your longest spell in the League of Ireland. What was the thinking behind that decision?
I think work commitments and the commitment to the league is—it's grown year on year since I've been involved with part-time outfits, and you're basically your full-time as part-time players. Nearly not a kind of way. Me personally, I was getting up for work on the Monday morning, at maybe 6 o'clock, being on site for 7 o'clock, working a full day, and then leaving work and heading to train and not getting home for maybe 8:30 that night. And that was of a Monday, a Tuesday, a Thursday. You'd play a match on a Friday and it'd be on Saturday or Sunday morning. So that's 5 out of your 7 days committed to the football before you do a 40-hour working week as well.
Yeah, and I suppose at League of Ireland level 2 and a part-time club, it's not exactly going to make you a rich man either. So it's a decision we're seeing more and more players take. I suppose there's less players under the age of 30 now than there has been in decades probably in League of Ireland. So is that a trend you expect to continue if the money doesn't increase for players in the league?
Possibly. Like, for me, it was never always about money. Like, there was the time I had signed for Bowes, I could have went elsewhere for a lot more money, but it was more so the club suited me and it was willing to work around my work commitments, which is what Bowes encourages lads to have their careers outside of football and play at the best standard in the country. And the way they do, the way they go about their business is, I think it's an example to probably other clubs around the league, you know?
Yeah, and we'll speak about Bowes a little bit later because obviously it was your first club and your last club, and I know you've seen plenty of Bowes this season and they're having a great campaign, so we'll speak about that. But let's go back to the start of your career, Paddy. It started at Bowes, as I said, but you didn't see much game time and you decided to drop down to the Leinster Senior League with Wayside Celtic, and you shone at that level, earning yourself a move to UCD. Is that a path more players maybe should look into in the League of Ireland if they're not getting their game? And instead of going from club to club on loan or short-term deals, maybe dropping down to that Leinster Senior League level and trying to enjoy their football again?
I suppose, yeah. I just finished school and I went to Bowes 21s. Or no, I was in the middle of my leaving cert year and I went to Bowes 21s. And I couldn't keep up the commitment of the same kind of carry on, going to school, jumping on a bus out after school and flying all the way out to Alps. So I was in Stillorgan and that at the time, and massive commitments, and I wasn't getting probably as much as a look in at 21. I was just fresh out of schoolboy football, so I was a couple of years off, I think. And I decided that I'd go to Wayside, and Wayside was the makings of me, I think, in terms of, as a young fella playing with men, learnt the trades of playing with men with Wayside Celtic, and I had two unbelievable years with them, between an Intermediate Cup win and a Leinster Senior League Senior Sunday win as well. So it was probably the making of me in senior football, I suppose.
Yeah, and just your comments there, Paddy, on playing against, you know, grown professionals. Obviously at the moment we have no reserve league or under 21 or under 23 league for League of Ireland clubs, and there's such a huge gap for players trying to step up from under 19s football to that senior level.
It is.
Is that something that should be looked at, some type of partnership, more partnerships with Leinster Senior League clubs to get players their minutes at a senior level like that?
Possibly if it could happen, but I doubt the Leinster Senior League would entertain it. Obviously, you've got the national underage leagues there now with 13s, 15s, 17s and 19s. But after 19s, like, fellas kind of, they're caught between, I've grown out of underage 19s, I can't go anymore. So they either look to go play Leinster Senior League. And it's a great route to go, I feel personally. And I think any fellas that have played in the Leinster Senior League would tell you that it can be the makings of them to maybe step back into League of Ireland. Naturally, you have to be good enough as well, so...
And
there's a few bits and pieces to put together there to get to where you want to be.
Yeah, off the back of that then, as I said, a move to UCD came about, and you scored against Bohemians that season. Be honest, did you celebrate that little bit harder when it happened?
Say that again, please.
Off the back of your time with Wayside, you moved to UCD and you scored that season, the 2006 season, against Bohemians. Did you celebrate that little bit harder, in all honesty?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I celebrated harder. I think We'd won out in Dalymount, I think, and it was the first time UCD had won there in quite a while, so it was a sweet one. I remember it well, actually, yeah.
And from there then to Birmingham City, how did that come about, Paddy?
Somebody told me the stats that I'd played 11 games and I'd scored 4 or 5 goals for UCD. And I'd been approached previous to my UCD move when I was at Wayside, that there had been a couple of trials offered, and so I had declined. I'd opted to stay and go go to the League of Ireland route. I was starting my apprenticeship at the time, and I kind of was geared towards wanting to get my trades done and stuff like that. My folks had always been on me to have that bit of education behind me, so I opted to stay and sign for UCD and go through my apprenticeship, you know.
And I suppose it's fair to say at that stage of your career, everything was on the up. You'd made the breakthrough to League of Ireland level. You've got your move to an English club. But almost quite immediately, you found yourself released. Was that something that was hard to deal with at the time?
It was, and it wasn't. Like, I was happy to leave it and come home because I'd seen where Birmingham were getting promoted. I had a meeting with Steve Bruce. He went in, sat down, and there was a 1-year extension on the table if I wanted to, but he said I wasn't going to get near the first team, that he had 90 million and he needed to buy proven Premier League players, and that was where he was going. So I was never going to crack the first team there at that stage, so I was happy enough to come home, and I knew I could go back and play League of Ireland, and I knew that I was coming back to a really competitive league as well. So Ray Wander was the fit for me at the time.
Was there a temptation to try and stay in England at all costs? That's something we hear a lot of players talking about that have come back to the league. They've said that they probably stayed in England longer than they should have and gone down to a very low level just for the sake of staying in English football. Was that ever anything that tempted you?
I think a lot of fellas get caught up in the whole hype of I'm playing English football. Now, don't get me wrong, there's serious rewards there if you're in the right club and the right neck of the woods, but sure, I knew the standard of the League of Ireland, and I played a lot of reserve team football when I was in Birmingham, and I was like, there's no comparison to playing this kind of reserve team football where if a first team player is injured and he's on his way back, you could be playing out your skin in the reserves. You'd just be told you need to get an hour of match fitness into him, so you're not playing this week. And that's no good to any young fella or any chap trying to crack a career for himself if he's just seen as a fill the gap.
Yeah, it seems quite ruthless.
No, it is. For sure. That's why young fellas need to be, I suppose, better educated when they're going across to expect these kind of things, you know?
Yeah, as we said then, the move to Bray, where you made 79 appearances and even earned yourself an Irish under-23 cap. There was Player of the Month awards. A very, very good bounce back from being released by an English club.
Yeah, well, I think I came back to League of Ireland after England, and I suppose it was a breath of fresh air to me. It probably rejuvenated me, a chance to really stake a claim and make a name for myself in the League of Ireland. And Bray was a couple of different offers about the league, but Bray was kind of a local club to me. I only lived out the road in Dunleary, Ballybrack area, and that, and it was Keith Long was the assistant manager at the time to Eddie Gormley, and Keith was saying, come play for your local club. So it was like, yeah, he'd sold me the dream.
Did you feel you had a point to prove after moving back from England?
Point to prove, possibly. I obviously wanted, like, when somebody comes home from England, there's obviously thoughts there that, oh, this fella's not good enough, so on and so forth. But for me, it was more so, I wanted to show people what I was capable of, that I thought I had ability, and I wanted to showcase it.
And from there, another move came about, Paddy. This time you made a massive transfer in League of Ireland terms to Shamrock Rovers in 2009, went on to win the league in 2010. At that stage, did you think that might be the first of many League of Ireland trophies?
I thought at the time, yeah. I thought I could be starting to play for, as part of a club that I'd expected to go on and dominate after, like, always had well-documented troubles at the time, and there was nobody else really capable of putting the squeeze on Rovers. So it was kind of the way I thought of it at the time, and I spoke to many people, I said, if Rovers do it right here, they could dominate for the next how many years, but...
Yeah, I seem to remember after they cracked the Europa League group stage at that time, one of the bookmakers was offering odds on Shamrock Rovers to win 10 in a row.
There was all sorts of wild stuff crowing about the place, for sure. It just didn't play out that way, I suppose.
Yeah, and then you departed for Shelburne. What was the reason behind the Rovers' exit?
Well, in 2010, I played a good bit, and that was grand. 2011, then, kind of had a bit of a falling out, I suppose, with the manager, in terms of I wasn't playing enough games, whether he just lost faith in me, I suppose. It happens in managers and players and stuff like that. So I decided that now it was time for me to go. I needed to go play football, and that was a poor last 6 months, I'd say, at Rovers, where I didn't enjoy my football. I was just showing up, training week in, week out, and there was no reward, sitting in the stands watching towards the end of 2011. So I'd left about 2 weeks before the Tottenham game for the group stages.
Was that a bittersweet moment then, watching that game? I'm sure you watched it on television. Did you feel like maybe you should have been a part of that in some way?
I don't think I actually watched it on television. Truth be told, I think I was actually having a pizza with it would have been my future wife at the time, truth be told.
And as we said then, to Shelburne and then to Derry. So, as you said before, we got you on the phone there. You've certainly had quite a lot of clubs. Why do you think you played for so many clubs? And did you enjoy that aspect of moving from club to club and seeing new places and meeting new fans and new teammates and new managers?
Definitely. I'm far better for it. Life experience, I suppose, going around into different dressing rooms, different atmospheres and stuff like that. Like, had a great year at Chelsea. Loved it. A really, really good dressing room. Some really good players that were involved. And at the end of that season, then, it fell asunder. Like, I think Alan he'd left it late, I suppose, to sign players, and I'd had a decent season. I had offers from a few different clubs at the time. I think Cork were in for me, Derry were in for me. I think Stephen Kenny got the Dundalk job that season then as well, 2013. I'd spoke to him as well. But Derry had the offer of the offer and the attraction of European football, and that's where I went.
Again, you don't seem like a man that has many regrets, but maybe not taking up that Dundalk offer if there was one. Is that something that plays on your mind at all?
Well, I had already shook hands with Derry the previous Thursday or Friday. I'd actually spoke to Paul Hegarty, who's the assistant manager at Derry at the time, and I said, "I'll sign for you, Paul." And then Stephen, I think, had rang me on the Monday saying that he was being announced as the Dundalk staffer on the Tuesday or the Wednesday, and that he wanted to sign. And I said, "I can't commit to Derry." And I said, "Plus playing a year up on that Ashore will probably take a couple of years off my career." And anyway.
Yeah, and I suppose at the time there was absolutely no way of telling where that Dundalk story was going to end up.
Exactly. It was a shot into the unknown. They just survived the relegation playoff, and Michael Rafter scored a brace, I think, against Waterford. Yeah. He was become a teammate of mine and Derry the following year, and a housemate of mine the following season, like, you know.
And as we said then, you rejoined Bohemians, I suppose, fitting to end it where it began. And that was where you had your longest consistent spell at a club, 5 seasons. It seems to be a club you've really grown a strong affection to.
Yeah, great club. Owen Hardy had got in touch and said, "Look, I want to come and play for Bowles." And I said, "No problem." It was a no-brainer for me. It was moved back to Dublin, and I seemed to have set myself up to really, I suppose, bed myself into a club. I'd been wandering a bit the previous couple of years, and I was like, I got the Bowls, and it was just a great feel about the place. There's some really smashing people that down there who do so much work about the place, and I've seen it transform for over the last 5 years, and it's just,
yeah,
really good place to be.
I suppose we're seeing the effects of that now with the sold out stadiums every week, and such a great feel around the club. And I know you were at the big Bowes gig in Vicar Street the other night as well, so they just seem to be doing things right on and off the pitch at the moment, Bowes.
Well, they're trying, I suppose, with the way the league is, and what they're doing is exceptional. Like, unless you have a big sugar daddy who's willing to come in and pump money in, but they've been burnt before, and they're never going back that way. They're going to be, they're fan owned and trying to sustain themselves, and operate on, like what Keith's doing on small budget is exceptional for the league, you know.
Yeah, and just finally, Paddy, disappointing result for them the other night. So close to getting another result in Oriel this season, but again, a last gasp penalty give Dundalk all 3 points. The Bows are now 9 points off the top. Is that the end of their title chances?
I don't know. The league, obviously, Dundalk and Rovers are going well. I'd really love to see them pinch a European spot, and possibly an FAI Cup would be where I'd be hoping they'd be going. To sustain the periods to win the league is positive. It probably is out of their reach, but sure, they can dream, you know.
Paddy, before we let you go, 33 now, brilliant backstory, brilliant career. Is there space for one more chapter, do you think?
Is there space for one more chapter?
One last hurrah. Maybe maybe a first division club, maybe looking for a winger.
Patrick Cadman's poetic, you just wouldn't know.
Very good. No better way to end it. Paddy Kavanagh, absolute pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us. And
thanks for having me on.
And congratulations on a fantastic League of Ireland career.
Smashing. Thanks very much, lads.
Cheers. Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Have to say, John, really enjoyed that chat there with Paddy Kavanagh.
Yeah, and interesting. I just hope he comes back for one last hurrah. Tell you what, we could have done with him playing for Longford against Galway.
We've always been big fans of him down the years in the league. Very consistent winger, and we've often thought one stage he might end up in the red and black of Longford as opposed to the red and black of Bowes. But yeah, definitely some issues at Longford that we have to discuss as we go into our first division review. But we'll start with what was an absolutely shocking result for Cabin Teely. They went down, the league leaders, they went down 5-0 at home to Drogheda.
And before we start talking about the game, Kieran, we were chatting off air, and we have this theory that the standard is not great this season.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed by the standard. I thought the standard of the first division last season was quite decent. UCD, though, in honesty, probably boosted that quite a lot. This year, some of the games I've seen, there's very, very little between the teams. And
I think that's what's leading to all these inconsistent results and making it very, very hard to predict.
And
some
I don't,
of these scorelines.
In a league, you often see the start of it where you'll get these inconsistent results and then the stronger teams come to the fore. But I think we're going to see this kind of flip of a coin stuff for the entire First Division season, unless there's some big movement in the transfer window coming up. And obviously there's a couple of clubs that have the resources to bring in some big names. But for me, as you said, there's very, very little between the teams. And the standard at the moment, it's quite poor.
And that's why we're seeing some players look really good 1 week, and then the next two or three weeks, they'll just look awful. Because it's just a lack of consistency due to just the level of the teams around them, I'm afraid.
We'll probably get pelters for saying that. You know, we do our best to promote the First Division on the show here, but it is exciting. It's exciting because it is
very
so tight, and
you're
getting these surprise results and late goals, etc. But overall, any of the teams that go up from this First Division, they're going to struggle greatly next year in the Premier, as we're seeing with the bottom two now in the Premier at the moment.
Without investment. You could see Shells have the investment there.
Yeah.
This is why I still think they're going to win the league.
Agreed,
it's just that they still have the outstanding players and they have a goal scorer as well, which a lot of the teams don't have at this level. And, with the investment that they would have if they went up, they could hang on. But tricky for the rest.
Yeah, agree on that. So let's get into that game. It was Cavan Teely 0, Drogheda 5.
Chris Lyons' hat-trick. He started banging the goals in. In fact, Drogheda, they can't stop scoring.
Drogheda are going under the radar a little bit. We spoke about them earlier on in the season. We were saying there was a struggle for goals compared to last year, because last year, again, they were one of the highest scoring teams. Now, at the moment, this year, they're the highest scoring team in the division with 26 from 13. So they're scoring two a game. But they've conceded 18, so they need to just cut that down a little bit if they want to get a run going.
The ticket prices may be abysmal, but at least you're getting plenty of goals for your money with them. Chris Lyons hat-trick, Meany and McNally with the others, and wow, what I didn't see it coming.
No, I was just going to ask you that. Did you sense this coming at all? Because I spoke to some First Division fans during the week that have seen Cavan Teely, and they said, well, I'm not surprised by this result because we seen them, and even though they beat us, they weren't great. But, you know, you associate Cavan Teely with being solid, organised, difficult to play against. So to lose 5-0 at home.
Well, we saw them against Longford, and their defence was outstanding. The two centre-backs looked huge. you know, and Longford could have played three or four matches and still not scored against them. So for Drogheda to go there and put five past them is no mean feat. Well done, Drogheda.
Yeah, I have to say, it'd be very interesting to see now if Drogheda can get a real bit of momentum and consistency going, because it will be consistency that wins this league.
Yeah, and they're only 3 points off the top, but then again, you know, it's so close up there. We talked about how the top division, you know, there's three leagues here, there's two leagues. You know, you've got the top six, there's only 5 points between them.
Yeah.
And then you've got the also-rans, the bottom four, you know, we're going to be fighting out at the bottom. But it's making for a fascinating season, even though, like I say, the quality might not be there.
Yeah, the quality certainly wasn't on show from a home point of view in Lizzie Wollan. But Bray, they also got five this weekend as they beat Athlone Town by 5-0.
Well, Bennett and Doyle put them 2-0 up before, well, I'm amazed it's taken this long, a Darren Meenan red card Kieran, and that ended it as a contest. And then Bray, they went a bit mad, didn't they? Yeah, Heaney, Ellis, Daly, they made it five and an absolute thrashing.
Yeah,
it's not going too well at Athlone, Kieran.
No, well, I think you called it, John. You were one of the first to call it, and you took a bit of stick after the good start Athlone had when you came on the show, and you said that you think it's only a matter of time before these sort of results start coming Athlone's way. But that's definitely been the case in the last few weeks. I'd like to see the form table, but I'd imagine that loan would be bottom, if not there or thereabouts.
Do you know, Kieran, I am disappointed, because I thought at the start of the season and the couple of results they got early doors, and they were up there, weren't they? But they've really, really fallen off a cliff, actually, Kieran.
They're without a win since March.
Yeah,
which came against Bray, so big worry now for Athlone. They sit second bottom, just 2 points above Wexford.
They beat Bray early in the season, and they go down 5-0 here. You know, can't be all right in that camp, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and Darren Meenan, he'll miss that El Clasico now coming up on Saturday. So an experienced player out there, he's let his team down, really, hasn't he?
Yeah, Section O miss him, Kieran.
It does take a little bit of bite out of the game, though, you know.
Yeah, it does. Look, he's a combative midfielder, is Darren, and he'll always give everything, won't he, for the shirt? And it's just a shame he has that tendency to get
himself in trouble.
Yeah, and get sent off.
Yeah, the game I was at, Galway United 2, Longford Town 1.
Kieran, we've been Project DNA'd.
That's karma, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I've been slating it all pre-season, and then obviously it's my fault we've lost.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be brutally honest. I think if you take Vinnie Fatterty out of this team, there's not much of a project going on. He was the difference. It was an atrocious game of football. I know some Galway fans thought it was a great game, but you're always going to get carried away with a big win like this. Very, very little between the two sides. Longford, worst performance of the season by a country mile. Gifted a goal, absolute howler from Kevin Horgan in the first half. Dean Byrne getting on the score sheet, but in the second half, Longford did not come out of the dressing room. And I think the comments of Neil Fenn after the game, when I spoke to him for Between the Stripes TV, suggest we could see some major changes in the team ahead of this derby on Saturday.
Yeah, I heard he was very, very cross. It's a shame, because Longford has started so well. I suppose it makes for an interesting first division that one team isn't running away with things, but they've just had a couple of bad results, you know, at home against Cabo and then away to Galway.
I think the performances have been more of a worry than the results.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not good to lose that momentum with two defeats in a row, but you go back to the Limerick win, they weren't great in that.
Yeah.
They haven't played well now in quite a few weeks. So is this a blip, or are we starting to see Longford maybe struggle a little bit now?
I think we're starting to see the result of a real lack of a goal scorer up front, because the guys that were getting the goals for Longford, and I've talked about this inconsistency already in the show, you know, with the likes of the wingers that maybe have a great game and then they go missing for a couple of games. And you know, they've certainly gone missing the last couple of games. And, you know, without somebody, without a Vinnie Fahati, without a Danny Furlong, who's going to guarantee you a few goals here and there, you know, this type of result's likely to happen.
Longford, only Wexford and Athlone have scored less goals in the first division than Longford this season.
Yeah, I know they have a cracking defence, but yeah, that's a worrying fact. And Fenn will know it, and you know, he'll be on the lookout for a striker and probably another creative midfielder.
Yeah, I have to agree with that, but I have to give credit to Galway. They definitely deserved their win. They were the better of the two sides, but as I said again, standard. It's not one I'd be bringing a neutral to. Wexford 1, Shelburne 2. Shelburne were 2-0 up. A late goal from Wexford made it a little bit nervy towards the end. But Shells, again, a team not playing overly well at the moment. They'll admit that themselves. But they're grinding out the results.
Yeah.
That's the sign of champions.
Yeah, goal from an unlikely source. Aidan Friel with the first and Rooney with the second. And like you said, that really was just a consolation for Wexford. Jack Doherty again with a goal. He scored this season.
Do you think maybe someone might have a look at Jack Doherty? Because a player that had so much potential, went over to England, came back here. He's fallen down all the way to a team at the bottom of the First Division. But I've seen him a few times now this season. He's got himself together. He's in fantastic physical condition. He's one of the top scorers in the division. You're talking about Longford needing a creative player.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And I can see Doherty being on a bit of a wish list for many a First Division side.
Just on Shells there, as I said, they're not playing well at the moment, but they're getting the results. You agree with my sentiments that they're probably still favourites to win this division?
I think so, yeah. I think they've been favourites from day one. And although they had a sticky start, I just think they've got the quality players to bring to win this league.
And you just said there as well, Aidan Friel, maybe a surprise package in terms of the goal, but I've seen Shells a few times this season, and I'll see them again on Friday between the Stripes, Matchday Live, bringing you live commentary from Shelburne this Friday night. Lee Stacey joining me on commentary, so make sure you tune into that one. But I've seen Friel quite a bit this season, and he's been fantastic, John, I have to say. So I think, as you said, quality all over the pitch for Shelburne. But let's move on to the next one, and we'll have to speak about the off-field situation going on around this game. Cove Ramblers defeated 3-2 at home against Limerick, but irregular betting patterns again are to the fore of the headlines in the League of Ireland.
Oh, Kieran, I hate it when we have to talk about things like this with regards to our league, because it does nobody any favours, I'm afraid, and it just brings the league's reputation
down.
Now,
we should say from the get-go here, nothing has been confirmed. The latest situation is there was irregular betting patterns picked up around this game. Off the back of that, Cove reacted straight away. They contacted the FAI and asked them to investigate the matter. The FAI have released a statement saying they're waiting on word from UEFA on these betting patterns to see what they can do. But the FAI did also say in that statement that the game earlier in the season between Shelburne and Limerick at Tolka Park, with Shelburne 1-2-0, is now under official FAI investigation.
Well, I'll tell you what, the goalkeeper could have had nothing to do with that, because if I remember right, Jack Brady had a stunner that match. But I think the issue with this match is there was the irregular betting patterns were coming on for the third goal. I think the Limerick winner, from what I understand.
Yeah, there was a lot of money. The game was tied at 2 apiece, and there seemed to be a huge amount of money going on to a Limerick win, and the odds just didn't match up. Limerick were, I think they may have been outsiders just before kickoff, and then out of nowhere, they swung into 4-9 on favourites, and even at 0-0 after about 20 minutes or so, they were still 4-9 favourites, which just isn't normal behaviour for a betting market. So look, we have to wait and see what comes of that. Hopefully nothing will come of it.
Yeah, it's an awful shame we have to be talking about it though, Kieran, isn't it? Let's face it.
And Cove really struggling to get people in the gate at the moment. And, you know, we've seen it ourselves with Longford, John. If you remember going back to the 2013 season, the Collie James situation. And the media is only too happy to pick up on these stories because it's a bit sensationalist for them. And, you know, people in the community that maybe don't have an affiliation with the club, they're only too happy to use it as a bit of a stick to beat the club with, no matter whether the outcome is positive or negative.
Lower league matches, no TV coverage. They're just primed for this type of thing, unfortunately. And you know, you see it a lot in you see quite a bit of it in sort of like the lower Norwegian leagues and things like that. But again, it's just the same with the lack of TV coverage. There's not a lot, but of course the bookies are always there.
Yeah,
so
sadly, I don't think we've heard the last of this, because to his credit, Johnny Ward from League of Ireland Weekly is putting together a couple of pieces at the moment on the betting situation within Irish football, and he suggested that maybe 3 of the 10 First Division clubs need to be investigated. So could be dark times ahead. Just on the other side of that, Limerick, obviously, their players have officially served notice to the club of a strike. So their game against Cavintilly this weekend, we don't know what the situation really is. The latest update I can bring you, I've spoken to sources in Limerick today, the players still have not been paid, and The club has promised the PFEI that the players will be paid tomorrow, but all we can do now is wait and see.
Put the underage teams on standby, my understanding is.
Again, we haven't been able to confirm this, but multiple reports online that underage players have been approached to potentially register for the senior team and play in this game against Cabin Teely. What would your
statement from the under-19 manager today resigned?
The under-19 manager resigned today, yeah. Head of youth development, a very lengthy statement. It's on our Between the Stripes Facebook and Twitter account, so you can check it out there. But if you're reading between the lines there, maybe it does suggest there's some truth in those rumours. John, you have a son that plays under 15 football. If the situation was, let's say Arda had a senior team in the League of Ireland, players were on strike, there wasn't enough players in the 19s willing to cross the picket, there wasn't enough players in the 17s, they went down to the 15s, you have a son, would you allow him to step into a senior setup where he's going to be playing against some big men?
Firstly, it'd have to be his decision, but I don't think I would feel very uncomfortable with my son crossing, you know, a first team players and maybe some under 19 players picket line to go play. I don't think he'd want to do it anyway.
Just from aside from that, it's surely a player welfare issue.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but I think if you're asking the under 19s to play, then maybe fair enough. But you're gonna have some young players in there. But it's the. Are they actually going to be crossing a picket line? You know, are Limerick players going to be out there at the turnstiles striking with the placards, and are we going to seriously ask the underage players to go past that picket line? It's an awful situation, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, hopefully it won't come to that. Hopefully there'll be some sort of resolution tomorrow. But
I'll tell you what, I'd love to know what our listeners think about it all. To be honest, the dodgy betting, the strike
alleged
action,
dodgy
picket. Look, we're not going to get sued, Kieran. It's grand.
You can be careful. About
that. Yeah. But look, we should talk about the match. Two penalties decided this from Darren Murphy, Shane Tracy in between for Cove Lions, and Shane O'Connor with a goal. But as I say, it was a late penalty from Murphy that won it for Limerick.
Yeah, and you know, the most disappointing thing about this whole situation is Limerick is they're doing so well. They're in a good position in the table now. So if this game isn't to go ahead against Cabin Teely, there will be huge repercussions for the club. If the payments don't go through, there's always the option the club can dip into this 300,000 scheme that's there. But the club will receive a 6-point penalty immediately as soon as they access that fund. So the players and Tommy Barrett are going to suffer from this one way or another.
I feel desperately sorry as well for the people that invest so much time in Cove. The likes of, we talked about Stephen Henderson, who, you know, and the board there, the volunteers. If there was something untoward going, you'd just be heartbroken.
Yeah, really, really would. I think we've said all we can say on both situations there. Yep. As I say, keep an eye on betweenthestripes.ie, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/betweenthestripes, and our Twitter account is @betweenstripes, because we'll be bringing constant updates on those two situations as they unfold. And as John said, we'd love to get the views of listeners, particularly our Limerick listeners. Drop us a tweet to @betweenstripes or get us on facebook.com/betweenthestripes. Let us know, will you be attending Limerick against Cabin Teely this weekend if there is a first team strike? Will you cross the picket? We want to know that.
I think I better shove a few allegedlys in as well. I think I'm probably about 6 allegedlys behind. Yeah, so just in case. You know.
Everything said there was allegedly.
Yeah.
Right, where are we now? We're going to our final game of the First Division review. It was a Monday night game. Bray Wanderers coming from behind to beat Galway 2-1. Does that result end Galway's hopes of a playoff push?
Of course it does, yeah. They're in the second section of that league. But a brace from Hugh Douglas. Surprising double goal scorer for Bray.
Yeah, well, he's probably a defender that he's chipped in with plenty of goals on the air because he's such a threat in the air. So I wouldn't really class it as a massive surprise. But again, Bray, they're just starting to get a little run going now. But it's been in the bigger games against, you know, title and promotion rivals where I've questioned them. So I still think a lot of question marks for Bray to answer.
Again,
if they're going
we talk about inconsistencies, isn't it?
Yeah,
until a team goes on a real good run and starts hammering a few teams, I won't be getting too excited about any of them at the moment.
So we still have our final interview of the night to come up with Nigel Hegarty, but it's time for the St. Mel's Brewing prediction game. And John, again last week it was a tie, so we're still you're still 7-4 up in the St. Mel's Brewing prediction game. which is sponsored, of course, by stmelsbrewing.com. Make sure you check out their website, check them out on Facebook and Twitter, and pick up a fine bottle of their craft beer brewed here in lovely Longford, and always drink responsibly. We'll start with the First Division, John, and it's the derby, it's the Midland derby. It's Longford Town against Athlone.
Well, Longford have had two very bad results. They're not gonna let this one slip against Athlone. No, like you say, Athlone be out without Darameen, and they've been on atrocious form currently. I'm gonna say Longford are gonna bounce back in this one.
I think this will be very, very similar to the first meeting. Longford beat them in Athlone early in the season, 1-0, in what was a very tight game. And I think Athlone, it's fair to say, came away with that one feeling very aggrieved not to leave with a point. Longford, they're really struggling for goals, but Athlone, their record in recent months has been atrocious. As I said, they are without a win since March. So if Longford want to be genuine title and promotion contenders, they need to find some way to win this game by hook or by crook, and then they go to Talca Park the week after. They're going to be looking to come away with a point there. This is huge. I go with a Longford win.
They really need their forward players to knock a few goals in, get some confidence, you know. Dobbs desperately needs a goal.
He's away at the moment with the Irish University side in France, but as is Tristan Noel Kaufman and Jamie Hollywood for Longford, but he will be back for this game Friday.
Yeah.
I spoke to Jamie Doyle yesterday for...
Desperately needs a goal as well.
Doyle, yeah. He needs a run of games. Yeah. I spoke to him yesterday for the Longford Town SoundCloud account, and again, I have to credit the media team at Longford headed up by James Donnelly. They're really putting everything into promoting these games and trying to get big crowds out. It's great to see, but check out that interview, because there was some interesting comments by Jamie, clearly disappointed by his lack of game time this season. But we're both going for Longford wins, all in all. Moving along to the next one, John.
Shells hosting Cove. Cove very disappointing this season. Shells look to be getting their act together. I can't look beyond Shells at this one.
Yeah, as I said, this is the Between the Stripes Matchday Live commentary game Friday night. Tune in on Mixlr.com.
That's going to be great fun, because Lee Stacey's a bit of a character. I'm really looking forward to listening to that.
Yeah, so it's free of charge to sign up to that Mixlr account. And if you do that, you'll be able to interact with myself and Lee and send in your questions to Lee during the commentary. So make sure you do that.
Shells fans will be loving chatting to Lee, I would say.
Well, I'd hope to be at the game and watching it live as a listener.
Drop you a cheeky tweet.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But look, for Cove, they're coming in with a bit of a cloud hanging over them. It's going to be very hard to focus.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Shelburne earlier in the season, what was one of them crazy results we've seen in this league this year. But Shell's at home, big players starting to step up with goals in recent weeks, and as you said, that could be the difference between Shells and the other teams in the division. The likes of the Kilduffs, the Brendans, they're chipping in with goals consistently.
Yeah.
I can only see one winner here. Have to go for a Reds win.
Okay, Bray host Wexford. Another from that top group against a team from that bottom group.
Well, Wexford upset Bray earlier in the year. But just like that, Bray, they lost to Athlone earlier in the year, and they wrote that wrong right at the weekend. I don't think I said that right, but anyway. 5-0, they put Athlone to the sword. So surely we're going to see something similar here. I'm not saying it'll be 5-0, but surely Bray will fix that result from earlier in the year.
Bray will win this, Kieran. I can't see Wexford getting any, but they're very reliant on Furlong and Jack Doherty.
But they've made it difficult for teams in recent weeks, Wexford, so you have to credit them.
They're competitive.
Yeah, well, that's all you can ask for with the budget they have, which is non-existent.
Free scoring Drogheda against Galway.
Yeah, Galway, despite that defeat to Bray, they've picked up a bit of form, a bit of confidence around the camp. Drogheda scoring a lot of goals. They're going under the radar, as I said. Home advantage here. I have to go for a Drogheda win.
Yeah, agreed. Same here. And the final match, Limerick versus Cabinteely. I am actually going to do a Between the Stripes first. I'm going to refuse to give you a prediction, Kieran. Because I don't know what could happen in that match. And whether it's going to go ahead, what the players' mentality are going to be, whether it's going to be the under-19s lining out, not going to give you a prediction, Kieran.
Yeah, well, I'm behind, so I need to jump in and be ruthless here. So
yeah. I'll give you a point if you get it right.
If this game does go ahead with everything going on, and God knows what type of team will be fielded, Cabinteely, they need a reaction. I reckon they'll get it. Cabinteely win.
Okay.
Over to the Premier Division, John.
Yeah, Derry host Harps. Now, this is the makings of a decent match, this one, Kieran, because Harps, although they got hockeyed a bit 3-0 last match, but they won them previous match against Waterford. They're going to Derry, who've couple before of
we go any further with this, yeah. though, John, I think it would be the right time now to get Nigel Hegarty on the phone, because this is a fixture that had a lot of bad blood last time around.
Yes.
Will that carry over into this fixture? That's the big question. So we're going to chat to Nigel now, bring you that interview, and then we'll go back into this with our preview and our predictions for the rest of the Premier Division games this weekend. So our good friend of the podcast, Nigel Hegarty, joins us now from County Donegal to speak about Finn Harps. Nigel, a big turnaround in recent weeks. Everyone had written Finn Harps off, probably ourselves included. Must be a bit emotional now to see them off the bottom. Obviously a long way to go, but always nice to prove a few people wrong, I suppose.
Yeah, look, it's nothing more than we expect from an Oregon side. You know, 2 or 3 years and they're always been dead and buried, so he's consistently proven people wrong, you know, myself included in that. And, you know, long may it last.
And what do you put the turnaround down to?
Hard work, determination, you know, a good work rate, a good attitude. All of the above kind of mixed to make a, you know, it's good ingredients for the a winning team, I suppose. You know, it may not always be winning on the pitch, but certainly it's an Ollie saying at this stage, it's not for a lack of effort, and it's you know, it's proven true on the pitch, you know.
Yeah, we've heard that before, the work. But in that sense, it's not a club, Finn Harps, where obviously they've had a terrible start to the season up until the last couple of weeks, but there was no real noises coming out of the camp of player discontent or fans calling for the manager's head. Everyone's just keeping a cool head and ploughing along and working hard, as you said. So that's probably something positive from a Harps point of view.
Absolutely. You know, it's easy for fans to get frustrated at the end of the day. Like, you know, 3-0 against Rovers the other night, you expect frustration. The beating by Derry, you expect frustration. You know, you'll have people giving out. You'll have people calling silly things. At the end of the day, though, we all know at this stage now, after 6 seasons or 7 seasons in charge, what Ollie's capable of and what he will do. And as you say, the work rate, the work that he'll instill in the team, and we know that the players are there for buttons. You know, we've by far and away the lowest budget in the league, and it would even include UCD in that. You know, it's mad what we're capable of given those circumstances. But you know, as you say, people appreciate the amount of work that's been given on the pitch. They appreciate the work that's been given off the pitch. The much was made of Tony McNamee tweeting after getting back from Cork that he had to get an hour and a half of sleep and straight into work in the morning. You know, that's serious commitment for anyone. People talk about GAA players giving commitment. Nobody gives as much commitment as a League of Ireland player, especially a part-time player like the likes of Tony McNamee. You know, they're not given these hefty expenses that, you know, GAA players get. They're given their weekly... We'll call it a wage, but it's called spade a spade. It's not a wage. It's a handful of quid in the pocket to cover diesel, and that's, you know, it's hardly worth it, but it's for the love of the game, and these guys love doing it, so
yeah,
all the fair play to them.
And just to go back to that result midweek against Shamrock Rovers, I suppose from a mentality point of view, for supporters, for the management team, for the players, it's important probably to look at those games in isolation and say, considering what Rovers have on paper, what Harps have, let's write that result off. And it's the games against the UCDs, against the Sligos, where Harps' future in this league is going to be decided, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, as I said, I said it myself after the game. Those are the games you're not expected to win. Anything out of them is a bonus. It's the same. That's the best performance I've seen by a team in Finn Park since Dundalk beat us 7-0 in 2016. You know, on that night, Dundalk, which clapped off the pitch, similar on Friday night, there was a good 200 people standing there applauding both teams off the pitch at the end of the game. You know, Harps had chances in that game. Don't get me wrong, it was by no means a complete walkover. The 3 goals were fairly gifted to Rovers at the end of the day. We never took chances ourselves. We could probably have had 2 goals. But it's a lack of clinical finishing again has kind of hampered us there. But we never expected anything out of that game, so we can't expect to turn around and say we were robbed or we were this or they were that. You know, at the end of the day, it's Shamrock Rovers challenging for a league title. We're just challenging for a playoff.
Yeah, and it's funny you should mention the lack of goals. I'm just looking down at my notes here, and it's something I've put down on paper. But everyone is speaking about Finn Harp's lack of goals, but they've actually scored more goals than UCD this season. But is there still a fear with some of the players UCD have at their disposal that they could outgun Finn Harps if they aren't to maybe find a way of upping their goal tally in the coming weeks and months?
I don't think so. I kind of have faith that we'll click a bit yet. Mikey Place has come back into the team. He didn't really feature at the start of the season. He's a lad that'll get goals. We have scored goals. I think we scored more than Pats as well, if not before last night anyway. We definitely had scored more before them before last night game. I think it might be even on goals with them at the minute.
Yeah, you know, mentioned...
And look at the firepower they have. Look at the budget that they have. We're not doing too badly. It's conceding goals is the silly thing. We're conceding silly goals. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to concede. We've made a big step up from the First Division, and people don't realise the huge gulf that's between the First Division and the Premier Division.
Yeah,
and,
we had...
And, you know, for all the clean sheets, for all the talk of all these defence, it was always going to struggle this year in the big step up. And we've been hammered by injuries this year. You know, Kieran Gallagher and Peter Burke have gone to and fro in nets for the entire season. We've been jiggling between different defenders for the entire season. Young Michael Gallagher came in and looked very good there, only 18 years of age at right back. And the next game, then he gets, you know, a serious leg injury and was off after 4 minutes last week. And, you know, these things go against you all the time. But at the end of the day, so I suppose it's still a player is a player, defenders defenders still have to do their job. They still have to, you know, no matter who's in there, you still have to do a job. And I think little mistakes is costing us, and it's about shoring up the defence now at this stage. But you still need the goals at the other end. You know, it's no good coming away from a 3-2 or 4-3 defeat against Cork City and saying, well, at least we scored three goals. It's unless you're on the other end of that result.
And Nigel, you mentioned Mikey Place there. We had him down as one of the key players at the start of the season. Surprised with his lack of appearances, but. Yeah, a good performance there against Waterford, and that does bode well for the future.
Mikey's a tricky player. You know, he's a fantastic finisher. He's got great feet, but he's a little bit light, I would say. Mm. And that was my fear when we got promoted with Mikey, that he was gonna struggle with the physical step up. You know, he's coming from other part-time players, you know, other similarly physically built players to, you know, full-time professional footballers that are full-time conditioning, that are built like tanks, you know. And he's a little on the light side. Something I would have liked to have seen from him in the off-season is bulking up a bit. But, you know, as I said, fair play to him. He came in against Waterford. He was probably man of the match against Waterford. He was fantastic. You know, he put himself around. He's still light. He's still going to get knocked off challenges. But he used his pace to an advantage. He used his trickery to an advantage. And I hope now that he can really kick on and use that a bit more as the season goes on, because he can be a really big player for us. Proved that at the end of the second half of last season. You know, he was banging in goals last season, but he's definitely got the finishing to his game. Let's see if he can kind of step up the rest of his game now.
Yeah, and we've got a cracker this weekend going to the Brandywell. Do you hold any hope out for Harps up there?
Look, in a derby game, you can always hold a bit of hope. Anything can happen. So the first game of the 2016 season, after we got promoted, nobody gives a hope in hell of beating Derry in Finn Park in the opening night. And we went and, you know, comfortably beat them. We went to McGinn Park later that year and beat them. Nobody ever gives us a hope in hell against Derry, because we have traditionally a terrible record against them. But in a once-off derby game, anything can happen. And, you know, stakes are certain to be high in certain areas of the pitch, given the events of the last
I was just going to touch on that, Nigel. Obviously, it was a very ill-tempered game both on and off the pitch last time around. Is keeping 11 players on the pitch going to be key in this game for both sides?
I think going into every single game of your season, keeping 11 players on the pitch is important. And again, anything can happen in a derby game. Tempers can get flared, chat in the media, this sort of stuff. Thankfully, now we've seen none of that really in the build-up to this so far. I know there was these articles came out with Kieran Call before the last derby.
Yeah.
Look, they don't help, but at the end of the day, players have to rise above it. And you kind of hope that the events of the last game are forgotten to an extent, and they just get on with some football this time and never mind the nonsense off the pitch, because at the end of the day, we're all there to see a football game.
Yeah. Final word, Nigel, as briefly as you can, because we've gone over time, as always, great to chat with you. But will Harps stay up this season?
In a word?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe so. I genuinely believe that the aim is for a playoff. Anything above that would be majestic at this stage. It's not going to happen really, but, you know, as I said, stranger things have happened. Limerick went on that run in 2015 that saw them nearly stay up. What's to say Harps can't go on a similar run? You know, brilliant anything stuff. Can happen. But I think playoff, yeah.
Nigel, thanks as ever. Brilliant talking to you, and enjoy the game on Friday.
Yeah, no worries, lads. Thank you.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
So, with all of that in mind, John, what do you fancy in Harps, Derry Harps?
I just think Harps can be a bit flaky away from home, and although Derry, we've talked about Derry's lack of firepower, I think they're enough to beat Harps here.
I think this is the draw written all over it. I think two teams struggling to score goals at the moment. Derby game, always going to be cagey. I think both players will probably be warned by their management team before they go out. Don't do anything silly. We don't want to go down to 10. So both teams might stand off each other a little more than you'd expect in a derby. I think this will be tight. I'm going for a scoreless draw.
Did you say the Harps management team telling the players not to do anything silly and go down to 10?
Ah, John.
I'm going to get in real trouble, aren't I? We should move on here anyway. Bows against Sligo, Kieran.
Sorry, I'm just penning down the predictions here as we go.
Yeah.
Bows against Sligo. Bows need to bounce back now if they want to stand any chance of getting back into this title race. Sligo are the draw specialists, and these are always tight encounters between Bows and Sligo.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
I think Bows might edge it, Kieran. Sligo, I think they're improving. The defence improving.
John, I've said it so many times on the show. I think Liam Buckley, deep down, he probably won't admit it publicly, but I think he'd be very, very disappointed with the attacking aspect of his team.
Oh, he's
defensively, he's got probably sort of quicker than he expected, but they just aren't playing the style of football you would associate with Sligo, and especially with Liam Buckley.
Mm.
And I think that's a concern. I they'll be fine this season, don't get me wrong, but he was brought in to kick the club up the league after a couple of difficult seasons. It's not happened, so I don't know where Sligo go from here. I think they're in a bit of limbo at the moment as a club.
I think they'll be delighted that the 10 points off the playoffs, to be honest. So they're not going to get dragged in down there. But I can't see them getting anything at Bows.
Yeah, I'm going to follow him. I'm just going to go for a Bows win, but maybe a 2. I'm going to actually ask you for a score prediction, because we were tied last week, so we need something to separate.
It'll be a very low score.
I'm going 2-1 to Bows.
1-0, Kieran.
Okay, perfect. Moving along, John.
We're going to move to Dundalk against Pats. Dundalk seems to be stomping over anything at the moment, don't they?
Pats turned Dundalk over earlier in the season.
Yeah, can they do it again? I don't think so. Not with the form Dundalk are in, Kieran.
But we're going to be saying that every week, aren't we?
Yeah, I know. But they are playing very, very well, and the threats all over the pitch, and I can't see how Pats can keep up with them.
You know, Neil Fenn made the point recently when I spoke to him after the Cabinteely and the Galway games, that when you're top of the league, you're there to be shot at. Teams up their performance levels, that extra 2-3%.
But how do you set your team up against Dundalk and the free runners? And, you know, do you go ultra defensive and hope to nick something on the break, or do you try and play against them? It's very, very difficult for opposing managers, I would think.
Okay, John, you've sold me. Dundalk win.
Yeah, okay. Waterford host UCD. I think a lack of consistency is harming Waterford's season. As for UCD, they need points, they need goals.
Difficult trip.
Yeah, yeah.
Exam time now, it's coming to an end, or it is over for most players, so we might just see a bit of normality setting in. But one thing I want to just highlight about UCD, a lot of transfer speculation about certain players, particularly their captain Gary O'Neill. Is that going to unsettle them?
I don't know if it will unsettle them, because I think Gary's a good enough player. He's not going to let transfer speculation put him off the job in hand. But I'm concerned for them, Kieran.
I'm very concerned because, John, they lost a couple of players this week. Timu Maloya, one of them, who's been very central to UCD in recent years because they're finished as students. They're finished with the college. So under the system they have, they now leave the club. So they're down a couple of bodies. It doesn't look like they'll bring anyone in the transfer window. Could this season very, very quickly peter out now for UCD?
It could. I think he's got to get a grip with the way he's defending and the fact they're not scoring enough goals. It's not a recipe for staying up, is it?
Yeah, and you look at that Waterford team. They've got some dead ball specialists and players that can put a good ball into the box that likes of Bastian Heary and obviously Akinade on the end of them. So. That's going to be something I'm sure Alan Reynolds will look at and target UCD with long balls in the box.
They have a bit more quality of Waterford, yeah. I think. You know, we talked about their shaky defence, but, you know, I still think they have enough creative players to damage UCD.
Yeah, look, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that UCD could go there and win. They obviously beat Waterford at the ball last season in the FEI Cup when UCD were a first division team. So that was a major shock with Waterford in the European places at the time. But I just think UCD look very unsettled at the moment. They have defensive issues.
They're on an awful run as well, Kieran. Yeah. Absolutely awful run.
Waterford win.
Yeah, Waterford win. And Rovers against Cork. In previous seasons, you would have been throwing a coin or thinking Cork would edge this, but not this season. Rovers...
Rovers win.
Looking good, yeah.
Rovers win because, as I said, Cork, they're picking up wins now in the games. You'd expect them to win, but in the games against the likes of your Dundalk, you can see the gulf in class
there
between the Cork
gulf,
of this year and the Cork of previous years. Yeah. Rovers have kicked it up several levels from their previous seasons, so... It's a total reversal between the fortunes of these two clubs. Rovers at home here as well can only see one winner, and I think it'll be a comprehensive win. Going to ask for another scoreline prediction on this one just to make sure we're separated this week. I'm going to go Shamrock Rovers 3, Cork City 0.
I'm going to go 2-0 to Rovers.
Okay, John. So that brings us to the end of another show. Action-packed show tonight. So much to discuss, both in positive and unfortunately negative aspects. But look, that's what we're here to do. We don't pull any punches. We call it as we see it. And I think that's why we get so many positive reactions to the show. And thanks to everyone that continues to support the podcast here. We'd love to see more listeners on iTunes. That's dropped off a little bit in the last few weeks. So if you've got an Apple device, we'd love if you could tune in on iTunes. Yeah, and
you can always tell when we're doing well. There'll be a screenshot of the charts every hour or so. And
that is nice to see yourself up on the charts.
Yeah, course,
we haven't been there in a few weeks now. So we need to get back up that table like a few teams in the Premier Division.
Yeah.
So if you can leave us a review on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. And spread the word is the main thing. Word of mouth is still the most important thing, despite the age of social media. Tell people about the podcast. We're still relatively new to the league. It's our third season, but I think it's fair to say we're growing in every aspect. Obviously, we have the YouTube channel, Between the Stripes TV, another League of Ireland review show coming up this weekend. As I said, match commentary Friday night from Talca Park. Tune into that. And we've got some new aspects coming up soon, which we're hoping to announce. So keep an eye on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Between the Stripes. We're on at Between Stripes on Twitter, and our website address is betweenthestripes.ie, where you can get all of our content in one place. Until next week, we'll speak to you again and enjoy the action this weekend. It's sure to be another crazy week in the greatest league in the world.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.